Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is based on the gospel lesson, sinners and tax collectors drawing near to Jesus, Pharisees and scribes grumbling, and Jesus responding with two parables, the famous parables of the lost. And this gospel is about how Jesus Christ came not to congratulate the righteous, but to save sinners who repent. And as even one sinner who repents is cause for great celebration among the angels of heaven, so it ought to be among the saints on earth. First, Jesus Christ has come not to congratulate the righteous, but to save sinners who repent. This may sound strange, because we know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we know that none are righteous, no, not one. So when it says that the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to Jesus, and that the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling about it, you might simply think that Jesus would say to them, "Hey, you grumbling hypocrites, stop judging these tax collectors and sinners. You're just as bad as sinners as they are, after all." But he doesn't. And so our minds should not go there. Jesus acknowledges a difference between sinners and the righteous before men. Sinner, in the sense the Pharisees use it, is someone who has adopted a lifestyle of openly practicing sin. And by that standard, not all men are sinners. The Pharisees and scribes, by all accounts, kept the law of Moses religiously, as they say, or at least they tried to and claimed they did. Tax collectors, however, literally stole from their neighbor for a living, breaking the seventh commandment as their employment. Prostitutes made money off of practicing sexual immorality, which is adultery. And these, of course, are not in accord with God's will, his commands. Now, Jesus doesn't dispute the distinction between those who are sinful by nature, all men, and those who make a public vocation of sinning. Even in the New Testament, 1 Peter says, "If the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner?" And 1 John says, "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. No one who abides in Christ keeps on sinning." Yes, there is a distinction to be made and kept straight, even today, between those who are poor, miserable sinners, which is everyone, and those who make sinning a lifestyle, who are today probably not tax collectors, but illegal drug users and dealers, prostitutes, gay pride activists and supporters, transgender lobbyists and crusaders, these are, very really today, public sinners. And I teach this now because it is very relevant today as a confusion and a prevarication of these categories is the source of much false teaching. There are those who believe and behave as though we're all sinners is the message of the gospel and the only thing that Jesus came to teach. And they would use today's gospel to teach that we're all sinners, so let's not judge one another, but accept everyone for who they are and where they are in their journey with Christ. Let it be known that this is just another form of self-justification and making excuses for sin. Just as the Pharisee would justify himself with the thought, at least I'm not as bad as the tax collector. Today the adulterer would justify himself with the thought, at least the faithful husband is just as bad as me. No. If you find your comfort in comparing yourself to others, either by regarding yourselves better than them or no better than them, is nothing at all. You will stand alone before God on Judgment Day, and He will not judge you in comparison to anyone else, but in accord with the faith that is in Christ Jesus. And the sin of the Pharisees is the idea that you kept the law better than other sinners. And that's just as irrelevant to salvation as the idea that all sinners are equal. All this to say, Jesus doesn't simply go around calling everyone sinners as though that's some great news. He's not a modern liberal Protestant. And so hear this. The Pharisees and the scribes would be absolutely justified in rebuking and refusing to eat with those who make sin a lifestyle. Paul says in 1 Corinthians of such people, do not even eat with such a one. But that's not what's happening here. What's happening here is that those who had made sin their lifestyle were coming to Jesus to repent. And Jesus accepts their repentance, and He restores them immediately into the kingdom of God. That is why the Pharisees grumble. So Jesus tells two parables to make clear that His practice of eating with tax collectors and public sinners is not about validating sinful lifestyles, as the Pharisees slanderously accuse Him of with contempt, and as the modern liberal teach about Him with approval. Their condemnation is just. No, this gospel is about how repentance, renouncing all sin and drawing near to Jesus for forgiveness, is available to everyone. And when the Holy Spirit grants the gift of repentance to even the most notorious of sinners, Jesus welcomes him. Jesus immediately justifies the sinner before God in heaven, and it ought to justify the sinner before men on earth as well. So the first teaching is that repentance, which is simply renouncing all sin and returning to God through the forgiveness in Christ, immediately restores even the greatest public sinner to a right relationship with God. And should that same person sin again 77 times a day and repent, he is immediately forgiven again, immediately welcomed into the arms of Christ and the fellowship of the saints, and immediately the angels in heaven rejoice. Yes, 77 times. The second teaching is that since repentance restores sinners to God and causes much celebration in heaven, it ought to have the same effect on earth. This is where Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees. He doesn't say, you are sinners in need of repentance, just like they are, so stop judging them and repent. They are, of course, but he doesn't say that. Instead, he says, all the angels in heaven are rejoicing that I have brought these sinners to repentance. Why aren't you? Why aren't you? Why aren't you rejoicing that these tax collectors are leaving their booths to follow me? Why aren't you celebrating that adulterers are going forth to sin no more on account of me? Why instead do you grumble at this? Today's lesson doesn't give the answer. The answer is provided extensively elsewhere in the parable of the prodigal son. The reason for the Pharisees grumbling at salvation of repentant sinners is also in the parable of the laborers in the vineyard and in the seven woes of Jesus and numerous other places. You can look them up on your own time. But the simple teaching here is that the saints on earth do not grumble when a sinner repents. Instead, he should and will rejoice. And he ought to welcome him into fellowship and restore him on earth as he has been restored in heaven. The reason the church exists on earth is to bind unrepentant sinners to their sins and to forgive the sins of those who do repent on account of Jesus Christ, whose death on the cross and resurrection made justification available to all people. As public or as private of sins as you have, when you come to the Lord's table, renouncing that sin and seeking forgiveness, you receive it here and now. And the result of eternal life is immediate and unconditional. At that moment, you are righteous. And at that moment, the angels in heaven and the saints on earth rejoice. Do not then be like the Pharisees, who resent the salvation of others. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. Welcome him. And rejoice with the angels in heaven. For the Son of Man came not to congratulate the righteous, but to seek and to save the lost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.